The people of Mexico and international markets digest that country's turn to the left. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. A populist on the left will become the new president of Mexico. Andrés Manuel López Obrador won by a landslide, and his coattails also swept the Mexican Congress to the left. AMLO, as he's known, won't actually get sworn in until late this year, a peculiarity of the Mexican electoral system. Mark Jones is a professor of Latin American studies at Rice University in Texas, who's been watching the election returns all night. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
All right, this victory was expected, so why are financial market players startled?
Well, I think what they're startled by is the magnitude of the victory. Right now we're looking at AMLO winning about 53 or 54% of the vote with very high turnout. And this is a very strong mandate. So not only did he defeat his rivals, he crushed them.
Central to his position is reducing economic inequality in Mexico, which, if you are a poor person in Mexico, has been welcomed by this vote. But investors are a little leery about what the costs of reducing the inequality?
Right, because Mexico is a very unequal place, and it's a place where the economic elite and investors have had essentially strong support from the government since the return to democracy in the country. The status quo is going to change a little bit for investors in that they're not going to get treated as favorably as they have in the past. And there's going to be a greater incentive by the Mexican government to redistribute income a little more than has presently been the case. So from an investor perspective, you're going to be nervous about how far is AMLO going to take it in terms of redistributing income. And if he starts to move too far, that's going to panic investors.
And part of the context here is the ongoing renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Prior to the election result, President Trump had said there would be no progress on those negotiations until after the U.S. midterm elections. So that essentially had already been on hold, at least through November.
Right. And it actually has to stay on hold because AMLO will not officially be president until December 1st. And the current president, Enrique Peña Nieto, has been a lame duck for a while, and now he really is a lame duck. So there will be no one in authority in the Mexican government to negotiate anything related to NAFTA. So I think we're looking at the renegotiations taking place at some point in 2019.
Mark Jones is a professor of Latin American studies at Rice University in Texas. Professor, thanks.
Oh, thank you very much.
As we jump into July, we can now tell you about the first half of this year. Let's bring in economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
The calculation is that it's been the worst showing for stocks in the first half of this year since 2010 in the U.S. The Dow's actually down 1.8% year so far. S&P's going the other way. NASDAQ did fine. It's up nearly 9% year to date. But, you know, this narrative that stocks are A-OK in the United States getting a little more complicated.
Well, yes, that's true. We did have quite the run in 2017. But it's true that stocks have had a hard time finding direction this year. You've got two competing forces. You've got lots of bad news on trade. That's weighed on stock markets outside of the United States more than the U.S. Because in the U.S., we have this massive tax cut, and companies are announcing share buybacks and dividends, and all of those things are helping the stock market. So you've got these two pretty big forces that are effectively canceling each other out in the U.S.
All right. But I'm still a little stuck on the fact that with this massive tax cut, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, only 30 stocks, is down for the year so far. Not by much, not even 2%, but down.
Yeah, well, trade wars are a big deal. It's a big concern. We don't know how far it's going to go. We know that it's going to happen now. We actually have tariffs taking effect, and that is going to hurt companies. It's going to hurt their profits. It's going to disrupt their supply chain. So it's very unknown exactly where we're going with this.
All right, we'll see. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Today, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce pushed back hard against President Trump's tariffs. The business lobbies released a report that includes an infographic. Click on any one of the 50 states, and you can see how much trade is at risk with China, Canada, Mexico, Europe. The hardest hit single product in Texas, for example, is about $500 million in sorghum that goes to China. In New York, it's the $560 million or so in aluminum we send to Canada. Wisconsin, about $100 million in handkerchiefs, tissues, towels of paper pulp, etc. to Canada. The Chamber of Commerce says it's into freer and fairer trade, but not the tariff way. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support. Congress has the holiday week off, but rather than going back home to their districts, a handful of senators is headed to Russia. They'll get their own sense of what's happening there ahead of President Trump's summit with President Putin 2 weeks from today. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has some of the economic context.
Russia's economy has some positive things going for it, says Catherine Stoner, a Russia expert at Stanford University.
Inflation is not that high. It's about 3 or 4%. And unemployment is hovering just below 5% right now.
And it has problems as well. GDP growth, pretty stagnant over the last decade, hovering around 1% a year. Brian Taylor is a professor at Syracuse University.
And although they grew at roughly 1.5% last year, it's a growth level much below what Vladimir Putin would like to see.
Some of that is due to ongoing sanctions, including those imposed by Congress last year.
Although sanctions are not the most important drag on the Russian economy, it's one thing among many that could, if reversed, help growth go up to a higher rate coming forward.
Something for Russia's leaders to discuss while the Americans are visiting. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.